is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We look at the Pharisees and we go, I can't believe they would be like that. And yet, just by that statement, we find ourselves on a slippery slope. Because they didn't plan to be that way. They wanted to be the ones that so excelled in the law that they wouldn't ever fall back into idolatry and all those things that caused them to become captives in Babylon. But what happened was they kept setting up rules and laws and parameters, so much so that the rules and the laws and the parameters became their God. It's the law. It's no longer about the people. It's no longer about what Jesus called the weightier matters.
In today's message, Pastor Troy teaches us to follow Jesus and point others to Him with the simple truth of the gospel. He warns us not to become like the Pharisees who created rules that were impossible to keep. God wants us to remember His mercy and to display grace in all circumstances. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. The title is, Don't Be a Pharisee. There are some texts that are easier to teach than others. Some, it's great. You know, the good news is just right there. But then there are times when we're getting closer to the time of Jesus' death on the cross, and He's getting more direct, more blunt. This week, He's not fully blunt yet. He's talking to disciples about the Pharisees. Next week, He turns to the Pharisees. And it's not an easy message. I don't know how many times He says, woe to you, hypocrites, fools, deceivers, all these things. Right to their face. He's not talking about them. He's talking to them. Right now, He's telling others about them, even though they're there. We're to be called Christians, those who follow Jesus. They were first called Christians in Antioch. What happened is, when Jesus came, His followers were Jewish. And so, because His followers were Jewish, they saw it as another sect of Judaism, one that they called the Way, because they kept talking about the Way. But then, as Gentiles were added to the church, they didn't know what to make of it, Jew or Gentile. They didn't know what to make of this movement that was gaining momentum. And so they called them followers of Christ. Christ followers, or Christianus, where we get Christians. We are Christians. A Christian is not someone who follows a certain set of beliefs. A Christian, a true Christian in the biblical sense, is one who follows Jesus. We follow Him. He's alive. But I heard someone once say, I don't call myself a Christian. They were a Christian. They said, I don't call myself a Christian. I call myself a believer. Or I call myself a follower. Because the term Christian has come to mean so many things. And I don't want to identify with what many associate with Christianity. So I don't call myself a Christian, but a follower. That has its own ring of pride right there. We are Christians. It's a shame that there's so much hypocrisy in the world. It's a shame that there's not a better set of standards attached to a Christian. But it's who we are. We're Christianos. We're those who follow Jesus. So just don't let it be said about you that you would be a great hypocrite. Now, hypocrisy has given the title Christian a bad name. It's the excuse that so many use for not going to church. It's the excuse that so many use for not believing the Bible. The excuse they use is you and me, the people. Now, a good response is obviously, it can be an escape also, is, look, don't hold me against Jesus. Don't hold my imperfections against him. He's still perfect. His way is still truth. His way is still right, even though I don't fully represent it right. But we do get in the way of people believing and following and even wanting to come to church. In fact, it's why so many seem to be abandoning the church today. They're tired of the religion. They're tired of the politics. They're tired of the games. You got to rub elbows and get in the right place and be around the right people to do anything or to be important, and we're all after the wrong things. Today, Jesus begins to characterize the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were the religious leaders. They were the ones who were supposed to be setting the tone. They were supposed to be the ushers for those who wanted to grow and to grow in the kingdom of heaven. But we're going to find they were anything but that. And Jesus' definition of them is not what we want to define us. Later in this chapter, Jesus will refer to them as blind guides. You are supposed to be guiding the people, but you yourself are blind. You can't see to guide them. It'd be a bummer to think that we were Christians, only to find out that really we were Pharisees, or that we maybe have some Pharisaical tendencies in us. God forbid that, but I bet that we look at the Pharisees and we go, I can't believe they would be like that. And yet, just by that statement, we find ourselves on a slippery slope. Because they didn't plan to be that way. They wanted to be the ones that so excelled in the law that they wouldn't ever fall back into idolatry and all those things that caused them to become captives in Babylon. But what happened was they kept setting up rules and laws and parameters, so much so that the rules and the laws and the parameters became their God. It's the law. It's no longer about the people. It's no longer about what Jesus called the weightier matters. He'll say this next week. You guys are so picky about even your spices, you count them out so you can tithe them. But you've left aside the weightier matters. Mercy, faith, loving other people, caring about them, building them up. The Pharisees had become rule followers, but they didn't care about people. It's something we have to be careful of, because the last thing we want to become are just a bunch of people who keep throwing out rules. By the way, the Pharisees threw out rules they were already obeying. So they never were substandard. It was always the others that were substandard. What does it mean to be a Pharisee? Well, we're going to see a little of what that means today, even more so next week. But we're going to see a little bit of it today. In verse 1 we read, Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." What's going on is this is a group of people who keep trying to pour on people standards and hoops and all of that, but they won't help them. They won't encourage them. They'll hold them to the law, but they won't help them overcome. There's the standard. Do it. It's the law. But not a finger to help, he says. It says as they sit in the seat of Moses. It's not a derogatory thing that Jesus is saying. This is actually true. In fact, this is why they should listen to them. He says, they sit in the seat of Moses. They're teaching the law. They're teaching you. So, because it's the law, because it is the word of God, listen. Listen to it. Don't not listen to the law because of them. Listen because it's the law. Listen because it's my word. But, he says, don't look to them as examples. Don't be like them. You know, if we wanted to be authentic right here, we have nice chairs and everything that we provide to make you comfortable. For some, we make you too comfortable, but we have these seats for you. But if we were to go back to this time, the teacher was the one who sat. It was the place of authority. And everyone else would stand, the disciples, those who were following. That would be nice because then we wouldn't need the chairs. We could get more people in here, you know. We wouldn't have to line them and all of that stuff. But that's the way it was. So when he says they sit in the seat of Moses, they're sitting in that place of authority to interpret the scriptures. And so please listen because it's my word. But don't follow them. They were high on talk, but low on walk. They could expound and they could speak with authority, but they weren't an example. They didn't model it. They were the ones who would tell you to serve, to be a servant, to preach serving, and then they themselves were no example of being a servant. They were the ones that would tell you to give, and you need to give, and it's true. It's truth they're proclaiming. He says, listen to them. But they were not giving, they were extracting. They were only giving when it was convenient for them, like when mom and dad would fall on hard times, and instead of assisting them or letting them take that extra room, you say, well, that's dedicated to the Lord. I mean, when the next big speaker comes in, he's got to stay there, but mom and dad, you can't take that's dedicated to the Lord. I can't help you. It's called korban, something dedicated to the Lord. And so they had all these excuses. They followed those rules to their own advantage, but they didn't care about people. They didn't help them because it was good for them. They helped them or told them what was wrong with them because it made them look better. It's a fine line. Sometimes there is something wrong with someone. They need help seeing it. You need to help point them out. But it's a heart of, man, I want to help you get on the right course. I want to help you get on the right track versus, well, you do those things. And that's why I am in this position and you're not. That's a little different. That was the heart of a Pharisee. The Pharisees felt their lives were model. But see, nobody else would agree with them except those in their own circle. Those are in their own circle, of course they would agree. They're up to the same standards. They're in agreement. They're like each other. It's hard to find someone to give you honest criticism when they're in your little circle. Because you've all, do you think there's anything wrong with this movie? No, we watched it. We watched it together last week, remember? Yeah, I do remember. Hard to really tell. But go to someone you look up to. Go to someone that doesn't care for you all that much and find out, hey, can you be honest with me? What about this movie? Or have you noticed something? A lot of people don't seem to like me. Can you tell me why that might be? Yeah, I can. And if they're spiritual, they will in love be honest with you. But the Pharisees love to look down on people. They didn't really want the people rising up anyway. They wanted to keep them down. They wanted to keep them way down. Oh, you did this now? Okay, well, you didn't do this, or you didn't do it that way. Over and over and over again. So nitpicky about everything, but not against themselves, just against others. And it made them feel more righteous. It says they wore the phylacteries, and they had the broad hems, which were a reminder of the kingdom of heaven. The broader the hem, the more you were being blessed because you could afford the material for that hem. And it was just this sense of nobility and prestige and blessing, and look how much I think of God. And the phylacteries were little boxes made of either leather or wood, covered in leather, with scripture in them. And they would have them around their wrists. Now, these were the more devoted religious Jews. And at time of prayer, they didn't wear it all the time, but during the times of prayer, they would strap these things on, put one around their head right here between the two eyes, right there, just right in the frontlet there. And they would go and they would do their prayers, and they got it here and they got it here, and they're moving and they're praying. And it just looked, wow, look at those guys, man. They look so, we would say goofy, but in that culture, so righteous. They look so righteous. Look at them. Why did they do that? Well, because they took their scriptures literally. Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11 both say, and I'll just read from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. That part they missed, by the way. You shall teach them diligently to your children. They did that. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. They were doing that, except it wasn't God's words anymore. It was all the extra stuff they had added. And then verse 8, it says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That would be the mezuzah that they put on their doors and even the hotels. If you go over into Israel, they have them on all the doors there in the hotels, the little mezuzah with the scripture inside it. So it's a little piece at an angle and a little scripture, this scripture, in fact, inside. And inside their little phylacteries was this scripture too. And so they would say the scripture twice a day. They wore the scripture. They walked through. Some of them would kiss the little mezuzah as they would walk in. So this was supposed to permeate their minds, which is why it was so interesting that they would ask Jesus, what's the greatest command? It's like, you wear it. You say it twice a day. You kiss it. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. But he added also, love your neighbor as yourself, because that's what it means to love God. Not to do a bunch of laws, but to actually care about other people. Well, the Pharisees, they loved to look good in front of other people rather than help them. Their problem was not that they wore the scriptures on the outside. No problem with that. That's good. It's like wearing a t-shirt. You know, we wear Christian t-shirts. Nothing wrong with that. Don't act like a fool when you wear it. Be a Christian. And that's the problem here. They were wearing them, but it wasn't getting to their heart. It wasn't transforming anything in here. You know, when that scripture, when Samuel was told by God not to look at Eliab because God had already judged. He said, you look at the outward. He looks great, but I look at the heart. That's the context of not looking at the outward. When someone looks good outwardly, don't presume they're really that inwardly. That's the judgment that he's talking about to 1 Samuel. He's not saying if someone looks like a scum and they've got this mean look on their face, don't be so quick to judge their heart. We can't be, because people will get converted. Their lives are transformed. But he is not saying that we can't use those things as a gauge for our own safety. If someone looks like a criminal, I'm going to be on guard a little bit. And you should be too. You'd be wise. You don't even have to look like a stereotypical criminal in my neighborhood. If I see someone walking a little slow looking at my house, I don't care if they're in a suit and tie. In fact, that would look a little weird, too. Walking by, I'm like, hey, who's this guy? Just last night, we had someone driving a little slow. Hey, who's this? Check this out, man. They look a little different. You get your defenses up when something looks a little odd. But we have a tendency to let our guard down when someone looks fine and dandy. He looks okay. Look, they're clean cut. They're okay. They must be fine. Sometimes they're the harder ones to figure out because they're doing what they do to look acceptable, to look good, so that you will let them into your home. Salesmen. I'm not getting on salesmen. But there are those who will use the sales tactic to get into your home to scope it out. They look nice. They're in a suit. They get in. Yeah, I'm here to sell this. If you just let me in there, I'll show you how it works on your carpet or this or that. And they go in and they're casing the place while they're trying to sell you something. Because if you don't have anything, they don't want to waste their time breaking in. But if you do have something, okay, that's all. You don't want to buy it? Okay, that's all right. They go off and they can let the others know about it. So we've got to be very careful. There's a lot of deception out there and we can be fooled. The religious leaders had deceived not only others, but worse, they deceived themselves. They thought they were all that. They thought they were more than they were. The scriptures had not gotten to their heart. You know, few turn others from the faith like those who preach it and don't live it. It's one of the reasons children don't follow the faith of their fathers, their mothers and fathers. It's one of the reasons that co-workers don't want to have anything to do with your religion. It's because they don't like the example so much. Here's a guy always criticizing, always telling me what I need to do, what I need to change, like lifting himself up. But look at him. He's not all that. And they can find so many things about that person to point to. It really does frustrate. It's very frustrating. And it's the reason that some will say things like, I don't call myself a Christian. Like, no, you ought to call yourself Pharisee then. Because you're on a slippery slope. You are a Christian. And what you ought to do is pray for the rest of the church instead of saying, I don't identify with them. I'm better than that. We're Christians. We're followers of Christ. And we ought to be following Him. But there are so many who do what they do to look religious, to look righteous. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were those people. To compensate for their failures, they overemphasized religious ceremony. So for them, they could always find a lot to point to. Because they were busy doing Christian things or religious things. Well, how do I know you're a Christian? Your life doesn't look like it. What do you mean it doesn't look like it? I do this, I go to these things, and I do that, and I'm at the prayer meetings, and I do all this stuff. So the religious leaders had plenty to try to point to show how righteous they were. The problem was there was just something that people couldn't put their finger on. I don't like them. I don't want what they have. I don't like what they have. There's just something. But the religious leaders were totally blinded to this. Instead, they would lay these laws and these trips on everyone else. They overemphasized the ceremony and didn't care about the people. If you were to look at the Old Testament law for what it meant to keep the Sabbath, you would find a few paragraphs total about what it meant to keep the Sabbath.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.